We want to thank you today for joining us at Truth Chapel's podcast. I pray this word would bring you life. I pray that it would edify you, encourage you, and enlighten you. If you have a moment, please subscribe and leave us a review. We will be so grateful. God bless, and let this word speak to your heart.
We serve a great God, a tremendous God. I'm just thankful to be a part of it in this last day. Amen. I want to go to the book of John. Book of John, chapter 6, beginning in verse 15 through 20. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when evening was now come, his disciples went down into the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark. Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship. And they were afraid. But he said unto them, "It is I, be not afraid." Today, let me preach for just a little while on this subject. Keep rowing. Keep rowing. Amen. Let us pray. Merciful God, we love you today. We thank you for your many, many blessings that you've just blessed us with over and over again. God, we ask you to touch every heart and soul that has gathered into this house today. They have worshiped you. God, we ask that your word now will go forth that touches the deeper parts of our heart, oh God, that we can have change in our life, that can we have the courage and the faith to keep moving forward until the rapture of the church. We give you glory, we give you honor and praise in the precious name of Jesus. And let the church say amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I read a story a few weeks ago about a missionary couple that had received their appointment to go to Africa to preach the gospel. They're on the plane. They're on their way to Africa. It's a long flight. He looks at his wife and says, "You know what? When this plane lands, I'm going to be a missionary." The plane does land, and on the first day, they suddenly realize they were a long way from home. And reality began to set in. Now they're homesick. On the second day, they realized that the homesickness that they're feeling was temporary because they were here for the kingdom of God. And God's supposed to take care of us. But on the third day, it was a blessing to serve God. The people were so friendly to them and everything was great. But on the fourth day, their spirit sagged. They began to cry about home. And they suddenly realized how difficult this is going to be. On the fifth day, it was cloudy and rainy and gray, and depression set in. Has anybody ever been there? The sixth day, the newness was gone, and they were blue and upset all day long. On the seventh day, they were fully depressed and crying. On the eighth day, the waves started to crest over the bows of the boat, and the wind began to blow. The wife, she was all upset. She wept all day long. And they begin to say, I can't believe we're here in this ugly place for the rest of our lives. On the ninth day, they cried all day long because they were so far from home. On the tenth day, they begin to think, I know God sent us here. Why are we so homesick? I'm tired of being homesick. I'm tired of the language. I'm tired of the food. I'm just tired of the heat and everything else together. And then he began to think, Lord, forgive my bad attitude. I don't think it can get any worse, Lord. But how many know it can get worse? He said, I'm not thrilled to be here. I hate it. I'm only willing to be here because you've asked me to come. But my commitment as a missionary feels like a prison to me. We've all been in the place where when we do what God asks us to do, it just don't turn out the way we think it should turn out. And sometimes we get down and we get out, we get sad, we begin to struggle, amen, with life because we think we're doing what God wants to do, wants us to be, and to go and do everything that God wants to do. And we're asking ourselves, why am I going through this? Come on, somebody. There is something about the struggle in life. A lot of people think the struggle, amen, is a bad thing, but I've learned that the struggle gives me strength. The struggle makes me who I am today. The struggle, amen, makes me a better child of God tomorrow than it is today. Amen, there's always going to be affliction. There's always going to be some kind of struggle. But I'm asking the church today, can you go through it, still have a smile on your face whenever things not going great? You tired of the situation, but hey, come on. Somebody, God's in the house today. You don't have to feel the way you feel anymore. I look at the disciples, they had done what God told them to do. Jesus said, go get in the boat and cast off to Capernaum. Yeah. Now, it's one thing. Now think about this. It's one thing to suffer for doing wrong. But it's another thing to suffer for doing what is right. But it happens. And we as apostolic people, we begin to think because we baptize in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost that we're not going to have troubles. But he didn't promise that. There's always going to be some struggle. If you love Jesus, there's a storm you're going to have to go through. If you're going to walk with God, you got to learn, amen, that troubles is going to come your way. Amen, suffering is going to come your way. But that's how we get into fellowship with our God, because we know him in the fellowship of his suffering today. I'm telling you, if you're going through something, just hang on a little while. He'll show up when he's on time. He'll come when you don't think he will, but he will come when you need him the most. We serve an awesome God today. Woo! I mean, we could go down the list today of everyday living. I mean, ask the young person here that's still going to public school that's got to put up with people laughing at her or him because they love God. They love God, but yet they had to suffer through some things. It's going to happen. It's going to take place. Amen. You go to job, on your job every day, and somebody look at you and say, there's that old holy roller. There's that old child of God. Look at him. Amen. You have to suffer through this stuff every day of your life. What about the businessman that loses everything he's got? Amen. Because of high inflation. Amen. What about the husband that forgave his wife for adultery, only to be embarrassed a second time because she did it again. Amen. A man of God. Talk about the woman, amen, that serves God with all her heart but has to go home to an abusive husband. Amen. It doesn't matter if you have God today or not. What matters is if you can stand the test and go through what God's taking you through. Hey, come on, somebody. God will take us through something, but we got to be willing to stand up and say, God, I love you anyway. I may be struggling, but I love you anyhow. I know I'm going through something, but I'm going to walk on. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to stay in the church. I'm going to serve you, God. Come on. He didn't promise us it'd be a bed of roses, but he promised us glory. He promised us a mansion in hell. Oh, come on, somebody. You got to stay in this fight. Woo! Let's talk about the person that gives everything and is totally forgotten about. What about the person that prays continuously and seems to never get ahead. Come on, I'm talking to somebody today. Ask the son or daughter who suffers from a broken home. So the bottom line is the wind blows and the storm rages and the boat bounces. And they wonder, why am I in the storm? He put us out here. He told us to get in this boat. He told us to go. Now, where's he at? Amen. We're about to drown here. We're about to capsize. We're fixing to get in trouble. But where is he? He told us to come here. Now we're thinking like the missionary. I know God called me here, but why am I going through all this trouble? Why am I suffering all these things in my life? Amen. There comes a time when God's got to test you and see if you're willing to go through what it takes to be a true and living child of God. Amen. The storm gets hard and tough, but hey, friend, we get tougher. We get ourselves where we need to be in God. Woo, I'll preach here in a minute. We do what God asks us to do. He asked us to live for him. He gave us power to do that. He put an anointing in our life to serve him. But sometimes we ask ourselves, why am I going through this? Why am I suffering here? It's simply because God wants us to be strong and powerful. If you read the book of John, Or let me go back. If you read the book of Mark, Mark says that they rowed that boat for 9 hours. And then John said they only rowed for 4 miles. Can you imagine rowing a boat for 9 straight hours and you're only getting 4 miles out of 9? That's got to be tiresome. That's got to be rough. And the whole time they're mumbling and they're grumbling, amen, but they're rowing and they're saying, where's he at? He's got us out here. Why ain't he showed up yet? Come on, somebody. Amen. Don't matter how bad the storm gets, you keep rowing. You keep that boat into the wind. Amen. If you're a boater in here today, you know what I'm fixing to say, because if you stop rowing, that boat's going to change directions. It's going to drift with the current. And if the bow ever gets out of the wind, amen, you're going to capsize, amen. So they had to row. They didn't have a choice. They rowed because the storm was raging and the boat was rocking and the waves crashing over the bow, but they kept rowing for 9 straight hours. I'm telling somebody today, I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what somebody says about you. I don't care how somebody likes you or don't like you. Honey, you just keep rowing. You stay in the church of the living God. You keep growing. You keep building. You keep praying. You keep fasting. Amen. You stay in the fight. Listen to the man of God. Hear the preaching of the word. But never stop growing. Woo. Mark 6, verse 48, and he saw them toiling in rowing. Now here's something you got to get a hold of if you don't get nothing else. He sees what you're going through. You roaring and you thinking, where is he at? But what you need to understand, he's watching. The scripture said he saw them toiling and rowing that boat. Amen. For the wind was contrary unto them, and about the fourth watch of the night he cometh unto them walking on the sea. Amen. He's going to show up when you think he's somewhere else. have to ask ourselves, why did he wait to the fourth watch? That's the midnight hour. Why didn't he come in the first watch? Why didn't he come in the morning? Why did he wait till everything is just totally chaos, amen, before he shows up? Amen. He's got to be able to trust you with this truth that you've got, that you believe in today. If you don't trust this truth, you can't trust the God we serve today. If you can't fall in love with the Word of God, you can't fall in love with him. Amen. You can't be what you want to be or what you need to be unless you fall in love with Jesus and you fall in love, amen, with the truth of God's word, and you keep believing in that word, and everything's going to be all right. You stay in this fight. Amen. They kept rowing because he was looking at him. He knows it was tough. He knows it was bad. Amen. He come walking on the sea and would have passed him by. You got to see him. He's in the storm. He would have passed him by. Here you are, you struggling. You going through it. You rowing the boat. You trying to stay in here. And he's going to walk right by. And if you're not careful, you're going to miss him. You're going to miss him. Whew. But there was one man in that boat that saw him. Ooh, come on, somebody. That one man, when he saw him, he said, "Ooh, Lord, is that you?" He said, "It's I. Don't be afraid. I'm here. I've showed up. I'll be on time. I'm always on time. I might not be there when you want me, but I'll be there when I need to be." And Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me get out of this boat." Now, I don't know about you. I don't know what kind of faith you have today, but I'm telling somebody today, somebody can walk on water today. Amen. Because Peter threw his leg over the side of that boat. Come on, somebody. I don't know what kind of faith you got, but I know the faith that Peter had that day, because he made up his mind, "Lord, if that's you, I'm going to come where you are." And through faith, he threw his leg over the side of that boat, and Peter walked on water. There's a lot of things about God I don't understand. There's things about his love I don't understand. There's things about his power I don't understand. But I've got faith in him. There was a time I didn't have faith. I remember preaching. Your pastor was probably 2 or 3 at the time. But on that Sunday, I preached faith. And I just believed God. But several days later, our oldest son was tragically, his body was tragically ravished when that tree fell on him, ripped his body, broke his leg, broke his pelvis, lungs collapsed. In a hospital room, an intensive care ward, I'm blaming myself. I'm all upset because I thought, if you'd have been more careful. And I'm thinking, "God, my faith's just totally gone. You can't take my son today. This can't happen." I'm not going to tell the whole story, but 6 hours later, that surgeon come in that intensive care room. He had x-rays taken, and down the hall, he's putting these x-rays up. And I walked down to him. I said, what are we looking at, doc?" He said, "This is what your son looked like when he come in. This one here is what it looked like after I got one of many surgeries. This one over here, he drops his head and he turns and walks away." I catch up to him, put my hand on his shoulder. I said, what about the third one, Doc? He said, somebody worked on your son besides me tonight. Honey, that's when you can grab faith and hold on to it. I'm telling you, before that, prayer, amen, faith was just a word. But when you get to the point where you got to have God, he will show up in the midnight hour. He will show up. I'm telling somebody right now, keep rowing that boat. Keep rowing. Keep rowing. Keep rowing. You don't quit rowing. Couple days later, when the bone doctor that set his bones back in place, amen, he put x-rays up. He said, you need to see something. Amen, he put the x-rays up. You could see the breaks. Then he put another one up. He said, your son's got brand new bone in his leg. I don't understand it. I said, well, I do, because I got faith in my God. Has anybody got faith to keep rowing your boat? Has anybody got faith? You're going to go through it, but I'm going to stand. Do you got enough faith to say, hey, I'll go through this because I love him? Whoo. He watched them. And Peter, you talk about faith. You talk about faith. Nobody ever walked on water. I don't know if anybody's walked on it since either. But it didn't matter to him. He threw his leg over the side of that boat. And he walked on water. Keep in mind, he had rowed 9 hours, and he's wondering where he's at. Why hasn't he showed up? But when he did, he showed up. If you read through the Word of God, from Genesis to Revelation, you're going to find where God tested men to see if they had the goods or not. And you may be sitting here today, a 20, 30, 40, 50-year child of God. But I don't care how old you are. I don't care how close you and Jesus is. God's going to put you to the test. He's going to see if you love him. He's going to see if you're going to continue to row that boat. Whew. Come on, somebody. Until he shows up. I look at Abraham. Abraham went through 25 years of processing before he received the promise of Isaac. And Abraham was called the friend of God. 25 years. Jacob went through 20 years a processing before his name was changed to Israel. Joseph, and we know the story of Joseph, went through 20 years of processing before he was crowned prince, minister of Egypt. Moses went through 40 years on the backside of the desert processing a man before he became the deliverer of Egypt, and he was called the meekest man on the earth. David went through 20 years of processing before he was anointed king of Israel and was known to be a man after God's own heart. The apostles turned their world upside down because they were willing to have their ministries authenticated by Jesus Christ himself. And I'm telling you right now, if you're going to see heaven, you're going to allow God to authenticate your ministry. Amen. Before you ever walk streets of gold, you got to go through the storm. You got to suffer some things. But that's where you build the relationship with Jesus.
If there's anything we need today, church, we need a relationship with the Master. We need to fall in love with the Master. Amen. He's going to help you to walk in this life. He's going to encourage you to go through the storm. He's going to say, keep rowing that boat. Stay in the fight. Stay in the church. Listen to that preacher. Hear the word of God. Stay. I'm telling you, somebody today is going to get out of the boat and you might just walk on water today. Woo!
If your ministry is going to have a true anointing, you're not going to be able to put it on a new cart and think it's going to be all right or expect results that's pleasing to God. God struck them dead. They thought, let's put it on a new cart. But that weren't his word. All of us are going to make mistakes. Somewhere in your walk with God, you're going to come short of his glory. Somewhere in your walk with God, you're going to have to fall on your knees and say, God, change my bad attitude. Because I want to go to heaven. How many want to go to heaven? Well, that was about 25% of you. How many really want to go to heaven? Well, honestly, that was about 75% of you. How many really want to go to heaven? Well, if you want to go, come on, somebody. Row that boat. Row that boat. Row your boat. Woo! And we're not rowing our boat gently down the stream. We're rowing a boat in the midst of a storm that's raging in the world we're living in. I'm telling you, you got to fight to keep it where it needs to be. Woo! My, what an awesome, awesome God we serve. Whew. Here's a good example, and I'm quickly coming to a close. From Egypt to the promised land was only an 11-day journey by foot. But God took them on a roundabout. He took them on a long walk. You know why? He done it so he could shake their pride and test them. Come on. When they were hungry, he fed them manna. They didn't even know what manna was. Their forefathers never heard of manna. They had never seen what's taking place. Their clothes never wore out. Their sandals never wore out. Their feet never swelled. And when they reached the promised land, he wanted them to be prepared to go in. Of course, we know the story. They listened to the majority rather than the minority. Because two said, we can take the land. The other 10 said, no, we can't. They're giants and all this kind of stuff. But I ask you today, which group are you going to listen to? You going to listen to the preacher and his leadership? Or are you going to listen to all these other folks in the mainstream? There's something about this truth that we must fall in love with. There are two maestros, and they decided to go and listen to this young soprano. She was going to sing. They had a big deal, big event. So these two maestros went. And she started singing, and it was beautiful. One Maestro said, listen to that pure voice. Is that awesome? This girl is awesome. The other one said, she'll sing a whole lot better when her heart gets broken. Now you process that for a minute. You're going to do a whole lot better in your walk with God when your heart is broken. That's when you're really going to shine. When you let the power of God break you down, put you in the middle of a storm, and put an oar in your hand and say, row until he shows up. Then you can say, I'm a child of God. But if you ain't been through the storm, watch out, honey. You're getting ready to go through one. And it's going to be awesome. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24 and 25. But this man, because he continued ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them, amen, to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. We serve a God that's not going to leave you. I don't care what you do. I don't care how far in sin you walk. He's not going to leave. He's going to be there. And if you're watching, he's going to come walking by, just like he did with Bartimaeus or the woman with the issue of blood. He's going to come by. And honey, you need to see him when he does. Because if you see him, you might just be able to get out of a boat. Amen. And walk on water. Amen. Physically or spiritually. Amen. You can walk on the clouds of God simply because you've been through the storm and he got you through it and you're still saved, you're still in the church. He's not going to leave you. He is our high priest and he will always be there. So what do we do? And I'm closing. Musicians, singers, y'all can come. What do we do? Well, it's simple. We keep rowing through the storm, through the pain, through the heartache, the troubled times, the hard times. He's going to show up because he knows. He knows where we are. Is anybody thankful he knows where you are? Stand with me. I know today I've not preached no fired up hellfire brimstone message. I'll leave that to you, Pastor. But I will be honest with you right now. Before I come in this building today, God let me know. Before I left the bedroom this morning, I said, God, what do I need to preach? God said, I got some people that's struggling. I had a message a few days ago, and the title of the message was, The Struggle is Real. Now, I want to tell somebody today, the struggle is real. But God let me know there are several people in this house, you are struggling. You're struggling whether you really love him or not. You're struggling whether this is your church or not. You're struggling because you're getting ready to walk away from God. Let me tell you something. People walking away from God over the most silliest stuff I've ever heard of or seen in my life. That's my pew. You can't sit there. If you sit in my pew, I'm leaving. What kind of... Oh, I can't even imagine that. So-and-so didn't shake my hand. Come on. There are folks in here today that didn't shake my hand. I ain't crying. When I'm at home, there are people that don't shake my hand. I ain't crying. It's going to take a whole lot more than that to get me to walk away from God. You can have the whole pew. I'll stand. I don't care. I'm here. People are walking away from God because of the struggle. I'm telling somebody today, God is saying to you right now, I'm fixing to walk by. I am getting ready to walk by. Can you see me? Can you see me today? Every head bowed and eyes closed. Now, if I was totally honest with you, I could call you out today. And if I knew your name, I might would do it. But I don't know your name. But I see your face. And you going through it. You're struggling. You're fighting. You are fighting. And God is saying, let me help you. So right now, while heads are bowed and the eyes are closed, I want to open this altar for you. If you'll step out by faith right now, come on. Come on, my brother, come on. Sisters, come. My God. Woo. There's more of you. Come on. This man right here, God showed him to me while I was preaching. God's going to touch him today. I don't know him. I don't know who he is, but he's suffering right now. But I serve a God that's going to deliver him in the name of Jesus. Anybody believe that with me? Come on. If you need God, lift them hands. Come on. If you're struggling, don't struggle no more. He's here to set you free. He's here to get you out. Lift your hands. Come on. Church, I want us to pray. Come on, let's pray right now.
We want to thank you again for joining us on the Truth Chapel podcast. May you have a blessed day and walk in the favor of the Lord.